Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, November the 22nd, 2015.
Well, it's a joy to be with you this morning and to lead you in worship. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we begin. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and greatly sing his wonderful love. Sing with me.
Oh, worship the King.
Snyder, member of the missions board and of the church board and later in the missions team. Familiar to most of you, although you've probably met my beautiful wife, Alicia, first, and I'm proud of that. So if we haven't met you directly, I would like to. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that we've seen and heard from over the last week, the couple of weeks as our missionaries have visited with us. Our hearts are heavy with some of the burdens that they've shared, of others that we know about. As we encounter our first little bit of cold, we think of Sarah and Mohsen and others that are in Ukraine and Moldova and places where they don't have heat and we're comfortable. We think of those that are without medicine and other problems. We realize that our part of helping is just a tiny little bit. We pray that you would motivate us to do that. We thank you that we can give to you gratefully and cheerfully, and we wish to do that this morning in Jesus' name.
Thank you to the orchestra. I have the joy of working with them about every Sunday afternoon, and we're working hard toward Christmas, so thankful for them.
Morning, Grace. Good to see you all again today. So, we had a fun weekend here as I was just kind of thinking about, you know, what I do on Sundays. So kind of interesting. Judith and I had a great opportunity Friday. We went out to a comedian down at the Tivoli. He's one of those rare ones that you find out there that is trustworthy to be clean and you can have kids there and that kind of stuff. But as we were sitting there, you kind of look up on the stage as we were just kind of waiting for the show to start, and there's a microphone and a stool, which is basically being used like a stand, and that was it, and a couple of water bottles on it, which I've got down here. And she looked at me and said, can you imagine what it must be like? Like what you do, like, your job is just to go. It's like, it's just you on the stage with a microphone and a stand. Like, yeah, I can totally imagine what that's like. She says, no, you know what I mean. You know, he's entertaining. I was like, okay. It's not my primary job to be entertaining, but I don't want everybody completely bored every Sunday. I mean, this is the Word of God that we're proclaiming, so hopefully you're enjoying that. But as we get into this, let me pray that this is not entertainment, but not boring either. So, Lord, it is just great to be able to come and to be able to spend time in your Word. And I am thankful that your Word remains true, that your Word is good, and that your Word, as we look at it, if we're really seeking you, there's no reason for it to ever be a bore. And while we don't... we're not pursuing entertainment, God, we pray that we are energized and convicted and transformed by your Word. And I pray that those are the things that happen today. I pray that we just kind of look toward what it is that is kind of a vision for this church, for what we want to be, what we want to do, not really for you so much as just you through us, Lord, for your glory. God, I pray that you would get that message across and make it clear to each of us what our role is in this church and in your kingdom. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. All righty, time for a test. You guys ready? You all need to have your bulletins out. Actually, go ahead and hold them up real quick, facing forward like this. I'm looking for cheaters. I see someone who tried to cheat and didn't figure out that there were two of those things there. I see what's going on here. All right, so here's kind of the test for you. How many of you, by show of bulletin, you're going to put them down now, how many of you, by show of bulletin, removed the Post-its? Mm-hmm. Scott Hicks is proud of it over here. He's like, yeah, right here, look at this. I'm not waiting for you, Pastor. You're all cheaters out there, I tell you what. But I understand it's really, really difficult when I have ushers and greeters and others telling you, don't look under it. What is the hardest thing not to do? You just immediately, you want to tear that thing off of there. Well, for those of you who haven't figured it out yet, those of you who are good, you can go ahead and take it off. And there's two of them. Just for those who were tempted, at least. I mean, good night. The ones of you who took those things off, you had to bust through two of those. You had to be dishonest twice. All right. So what you see under there, that is the new church logo. So you can go ahead and take a look. We're going to put it up on the screen. And there you go. That's what we've got. And hopefully that's something that you really enjoy. That thing has been, because I'm always worried about doing something that's just something I like. That thing has been vetted through the staff and the deacons and a bunch of random church members whenever I'd run into somebody. So odds are most of you have seen the thing anyway. And it's going through outside graphic consultants just to make sure that we're on the right path. And we showed this to missionaries and including Melissa Baccarella, who is a graphic artist as well. So we just wanted to make sure we were kind of getting the right message across. But it's really what this is. It represents what I believe we're meant to do as a church. And we'll look more into the bulletin a little bit later on to talk about some of the differences in there. But this is representing what I believe we're called to do as a church. And it's probably no surprise that what I'm talking about with what we're meant to do as a church, three simple terms, and you've probably picked these up from our study in Acts, that I believe we are to gather, grow, and go. And you probably caught that too as I end every message with grace, it's time to go. That's a part of what we're going for. And those are things that we've been saying for a little while now. And that's not something that is, you know, unique to us. There are other churches out there of all kinds of different denominations and non-denomination independents that use even that same terminology. But that logo, as we look at it, and there's a version of the logo that actually has the words printed on it for when we need to communicate that a little more clearly as well. But as you look at this logo, there's a few things I want you to notice. And it's supposed to be a graphic representation of what we're doing as a church. And so you see three parts there, kind of a gather, a grow, and a go. And you probably recognize that symbol, the tarquetra there that is really a very ancient symbol. And that's kind of what we're going for here, is to have this mix of the old with the new. The tarquetra has been around for centuries as a representation of the Trinity. And we're not trying to take that and turn it into where you now start to think about grace when you see it. We want you focusing on every part of the Godhead, our triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we'll even focus on that a little bit more as we go through this message. But you're going to notice a few different colors up here, and they kind of go along a little bit with some of our Academy colors. And it is a gray background. It's kind of hard to see on this projector, which I want to mention something. Where is that thing? Let me laser point that thing. We're going to talk about that projector here in a few minutes as well. But what we're doing here, you might notice there's kind of a flow that happens, and this is an eternal symbol that's going going on up here. And so each of those leaves of the tri-catcher, or each of those colors then, represent one of those pieces, gather, grow, and go. And the reason that we kind of have this kind of eternal symbol, not eternal as in the symbol itself is lasting, but the symbol itself, there's no beginning or end to where you would start on there. And there's no set direction. A lot of times as churches, especially in leaders, and let me just tell you, there's a lot I'm going to be going through today, and I'm really excited about it. And I don't normally drink coffee, but I did today. I'm going to go fast, all right? So this thing is being recorded. It's going to be out online if you need to catch it again later. Or you can just come and ask me, and I'll tell you all about it and get excited and possibly bore you, but I'm interested in this. So anyway, but what a lot of churches do, and not just churches, but a lot of different organizations that I think we get off a little bit when we do this, is we start to look at our process as a church as kind of stair steps. I start out here, and then I move to this, and once I've done really well here, I move on to this part. And to where even with the gather, grow, and go, we may start to look at it as if, okay, when we come into the church, we start with a gathering, and that's what just kind of your entry to belief, your entry to Christianity is about that. But as you go a little bit further, then you start to grow. And as you grow, then eventually you get to this point where everyone has to be, this is the pinnacle of all of it, to actually go. But the thing is, it's not like any one of those is more important than the others. And we're all unique people. A lot of us here, there's going to be many of us where gather, that is the easiest thing to do. Coming in here on a Sunday, worshiping together, that you get. You've been doing it your whole life. But there's other people here and around the world as well that coming into a place like this and singing worship is really different. It's very strange to them. And those people may enter the church, they may even enter the faith more through a go type ministry. And I'm going to talk more about what these are. But think about it. There are some people out there that as we as a church begin to more and more go out into our community and serve others, there are going to be people from the community, people who are not believers in Jesus Christ, who have a desire to go out and to actually do good in the community. They don't know why, they don't know what this drive is about, and they may not have the same reasoning, but they may join in and say, you know what, you're going to go serve the poor, I'm going to go with you on that. And as they do that, they start to make relationships with people from our congregation. They start to see that Christians are about loving other people. They start to see what we're about and get drawn into that. So maybe from there, and it can go, that's the great thing about the way that this logo is representing our process, is that they may say, you know what, okay, I like this group of people. Hey, can I come to just a small group Bible study with you? Or maybe a men's group or a women's group and just kind of get into one of these growth areas so I can investigate a little bit more what it's about? Or maybe they're going to say, I'm not ready for something that intense, but I want to show up on a Sunday morning. That's what everyone thinks about when you think about Christians, is the Sunday morning service usually. And they may say, I want to show up and I want to see what that's about. So they move to that gather portion. So there's no direction here. There's just wherever you may enter. You may say, you know what, my neighbor down the road, they've got a small group going on and I want to go see what that's about. And that may be the place where they enter and they start to move on. It can be different for different people. And that's why this image here you see, there is no set start point. There's not one that's the beginning. There's no set direction on how you go through this. But it's to represent our process and show that wherever you enter, we want to be doing all three of these things all of the time. And we want one to flow into the next. And you notice it's a blend and it's not a hard line because you're always doing some piece of every one of these all the time. Like when we're here right now, you don't just come here and gather and praise the Lord, and we'll talk about more about what that means, but we're going to learn, hopefully, and we're going to grow, and we're going to be inspired to go. And so these things kind of blend together. So today, as we look at that process, what I want to do is walk through this strategy and mission on a very broad level. We're going to get into more detail in this in January about what each of these pieces is really about and how we do these. But today we're going to look at some vision as well related to this strategy and this process and this mission. We're going to look at each branch of this logo, each of the things that we do, each branch of this mission and what they represent. And so when you hear the word vision, and that's kind of what we're talking about, is the direction I believe that we need to go as a church. When you hear that term, sometimes what comes to mind, I think a lot of times even, is the word change. And so when the word change starts coming to your mind, that can be a little scary. And we've talked about this before, that all of us will say, most of us will say, you know what? I really like change if it's my change, right? We talked about that. If I'm initiating the change, it's great. But if somebody else is telling me this is what we're doing and I have to take time to get used to it, that's a little bit tougher. But as you think about this, I want to assure you that we're not going through trying to be like anybody else. I don't know anyone else, although the words may be used, I don't know anyone else who is doing what we're trying to do and what we believe we're here to do as Grace, at least not in the exact same ways. We're not just trying to follow somebody else. We're not trying to be trendy. That's part of the reason for going for an image that is a mix of the ancient with a mix, I believe, of the way that people look at things now as well. We're also not trying to change anything simply for the sake of changing, just to say, let's just do it a different way, or because any one person says that's the way it needs to be, including myself. And it's really, I would say, for a lot of what we're going to be doing, especially as we look at kind of this process and this vision, this strategy, it's really not best to even say so much that we're looking at change so much as enhancing what we're already doing. It's more of an enhancement. Gather, grow, go is not entirely different and not that different at all from know God, love God, and serve God. But what we're trying to do is communicate both inside and then especially as we think externally outside of this congregation to some of the things that we do here as a church. And we're not even really going to be changing a lot of what we do so much as how we do things and how we organize those things, how we really focus. And I want us to be very clear for ourselves and for people outside about why we're doing what we're doing and what it is that we're doing. So we're trying to bring focus and intentionality and organization so that we can do a better job of carrying out the task that God has given us and that we've been doing all along. We want to do things even better. Think of this kind of message, what we're doing here today, as defining what we're really about as a church. At Grace Baptist Church, what do? And there's a simple way to say it. At Grace Baptist Church, we gather, we grow, and we go. And if you want to get into the why, we gather, we grow, and we go for the glory of God. If you want to get into how, we gather, grow, and go by the power of the Holy Spirit, not in ourselves. We gather, grow, and go by the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. That's what we do. So I want to dive into each of those areas and see what we can do with our facilities, with our staffing, many other ways so that we can do ministry even better. And we're going to start with gather. And gather is related primarily, not solely, certainly not only, but related primarily to the first person of the Trinity, which is God the Father. He is the divine fountainhead, as it's been said, from which all things flow. And we praise him for all that he does in and through us. So we gather together to celebrate our Creator, our Sustainer, and our Savior, who is our triune God. And as a church, we are amongst many other things. We are the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27, Paul says there, "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. As such, we gather together for regular worship services." Good job, folks. Y'all are getting that part, at least today. Okay? We got it. And a lot of other times, too, that we'll gather together for times of fellowship to experience him together as we love one another. We experience Christ together. We experience God together as we love one another. Look at what Jesus said. And there's going to be a lot of different passages we look at today, so it may be easier just to kind of see those on the screen, but by all means, we can Bible drill this and you can try to follow along as well. But in John 15:12, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." We experience Christ as we love one another, and we praise him as we gather for how he has led us to grow and used us to go. It's more than just coming together to sing songs just to be singing songs. It's more than coming together even for anything other than to just praise and to celebrate. That's why we're here together, is to praise the Lord and to celebrate him. And we can praise God no matter what our circumstances, and we can do that together as we gather together. That's what we're created to do. If you look at, again, what Jesus says in Matthew 22:37-38, this is the second greatest commandment. He says, and he said to him, or the greatest commandment, he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment." And we do this together as the body of Christ as we gather. But we also celebrate. It's more than just about who God is. We celebrate and we share what he's doing in and through us. We're going to do more of that tonight as we come together for a Thanksgiving service and just get to share testimonies tonight about how God has been so faithful to us this year. And it goes beyond that as well. You know, as we come together and we want to sing together, there's even more reasons for praise. And that's what I sense when I come in here. And it happened, I think I've sensed this every time I've stepped into this gathering here, that we don't come together just to sing songs because we like our voices. But we're coming together and we sing so passionately together. It's more than a ritual, but it's truly celebrating what God is doing in and through us. We come together to celebrate what God has done in and through us throughout the week and to be encouraged and challenged for the week to come. That's kind of part of the preaching part that I'm going for here. But there's more than just praising and preaching to this, though. The greatest command is to love God completely, but the second has to do with the one another. If you look around the room and see the other people in here. Matthew 22, 39 to 40 goes on and it says, the second is like it, Jesus talking, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, the first one, love God, the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. This is where it centers, loving God and loving others. So we care for one another. That's another way that we gather is by caring for each other. And we've had some opportunities for that coming up. We care for one another just as the body, your physical body, works. When one part of your body is ailing, that body comes together to heal that part and to take care of it. We faced a lot of loss here recently, and Fred just mentioned a couple of those. So many who have lost loved ones. You know, and I know Ruth Wolf over here has lost her sister, and then, you know, we had Rhoda that lost her mother, and then, you know, just this week, so many of these things coming up. We had Miguel, I think, I don't know if you recognize this, why we didn't have the baptism today. It's because Miguel Perez was in a car accident. And these are things, and so he just broke a couple of ribs. He's healing up well, but these are things that when these things happen, when there's loss, and I know there's tons of others that I haven't mentioned, is there's been, oh, I think over a dozen people that we've lost close to our church family here just in the past few months. But we come together and we care for those who are hurting. And that includes our pastoral care. Not just pastoral care as in the pastors or the pastor go and do those things, but it goes beyond that to caring for one another. We don't hire people, and I think that's a good thing about this church, that we don't just hire people to go and do our care for us, but we come together to do that as a congregation, as individuals. We care for those who are hurting. And we're working on, too, as a church and as leadership, we're working on enhancing how our deacons can provide care. We're working to enhance how our Sunday school classes and small groups and others help to provide care and even just to notify us when those needs come up. And there's a ton more verses that talk about what it means to gather, to be the church in that way, to gather together. We're going to cover those more when we get to the series in January. But here at Grace, what we do, we gather at Grace through our worship service, through some fellowship events, and that's multiple worship services, but then our fellowship events, like when we came together for the Lookouts game. It was a great time just to come together as a church, and the, you know, Memorial Day picnic and the 4th of July picnic, and that has some ramifications for Go as well, and the dinners that we have, all of these things, these are ways that we come together and we gather. And we do it as well, like I said, just by caring for one another. But we need some leadership to make sure we're doing these things really well. And the cool thing is that we've had that leadership all along. I just want to let you know one of the people and kind of who's going to take the primary role and let you know more about what he's doing. Fred Holcomb will be our gather pastor. Now, that includes music, so no need to be freaking out about this, okay? Fred's still music pastor, but he's really been doing more than that already, as he is handling our music and pastoral care at our fellowship events and some things to do with connecting people, like our greeters and ushers and those kind of things. And really, it is just a title that better describes what he's been doing more than it is changing his role. The man, as many of our staff, is just very vital to this congregation. Now, I say all that in a very kind way here. When I was in Hungary, we had a dinner with our missionaries there, and I think we had the whole team there. And so they asked what things were coming up and if there was going to be anything going different with staff. And I said, well, and this is how I said it to them. Understand, this is not how I've said it to you. I said, well, Fred's not going to be our music pastor anymore. And I just kind of let that hang out there for a second. In Europe, it's illegal to carry a gun. They could have killed me with their looks, though. My goodness. It was like a second that I think for them felt like an eternity. And then I think it was Cheryl Wing at first that was beginning to take a swing. I said, no. He's still doing it. It's okay. And I thought about doing that here. And then Judith and I talked about that and remembered that I know many of you here are carrying weapons and this could be my last sermon. So I didn't want to go that route. I do have a little bit of a mean streak in me sometimes. It was kind of fun. We had a good time. But as I said, that's what our leadership is going to be here. Now, we need some changes as well, some updates to our facilities, I believe, to help us to do this. And as I talk about, I think one of our guys just heard the word gun and he started coming in just to check us out. We're safe, if we want to put that out over the security band there. But there's some things I believe we need to do to our facilities. And with any of these things I mentioned about changes in our facilities, listen here, people, I don't want you thinking that we have to make these changes or we're going to cease to be able to function as a church. Not it at all. I think these are things that will help us to enhance what we do and how we do it. I think they're things that we should do. I want to see if you agree with me on these things. And the first one that I think there may be amens, I'm not calling for them, I'm just anticipating. But one of the first ones I think we need some work on is our kitchen, right? Our kitchen is not perfect at this point. Now myself, I like having a nice kitchen. It's nice. It's not my primary thing. But I know a lot of folks care about that. And it's the way that we gather together. So let's get a picture of what we're looking at here. Now this is the outside of how it'll look. And you're like, wait, you just said kitchen and then you showed me the outside of the building. Yes. So let me show you what we're talking about. To do what we need to do to the kitchen means that we got to bump this area out over here. So this is, if I can help you with this, and here's the thing, visitors, for some of this stuff, you may not be totally oriented here, and I'll be glad to take you on a tour and show you where some of these things go and how they work. And there's going to be a few things I'll mention to you that we don't even have the pictures for yet that we anticipated. It's very serious. I would love to walk you around those things. I'll do my best to describe all of it. So this is kind of the offices here. If that tells you, this is the entrance by our current fellowship hall and kitchen. This part here, current wall. So what you're doing is bumping out into the parking lot a little bit. And this little bump out right here behind this column, that little white-ish section there, and there will be a couple of, a walk-in refrigerator and a walk-in freezer. The whole area is going to look nicer for people to walk through. Right here is kind of your entrance vestibule, and you'll have stairs just after you get in there so that the stairs that are currently in the fellowship hall are going to be moved outside. So that hall will go all the way down instead of having just those short stairs there. This is one of the things I love, though, is that over here, why do we have this section? For one thing, there's more doors over here. But here is a switchback wheelchair ramp. So we can have wheelchair access, stroller access, carts, all of those kind of things so that that entrance to the building then is completely accessible to anybody. It's one of the things I love. Now let's look at the floor plan here, and this is going to be pretty detailed. You won't catch it all, and I'm not even going to totally catch it all, but one of the things I'm really excited about, you may notice this is the existing hall where the stairs are right now, the new stairs, new vestibule, the ramp, the freezer and the refrigerator, this kind of stuff. And this is all new kitchen, all set for prep and all kind of new appliances and things that actually function for how we operate as a church and prepares us for how we may want to operate in the future, as well as things that the school may need if they go back to serving lunches the way they used to. The entry hall, you'll notice, now goes out into the other hall because over here, can you tell what those are? Those are bathrooms. Anyone tired of walking across the building to get to a bathroom from any kind of fellowship event back there? That gets a little old after a while. So those are some of the things that we're looking at doing. And I'll tell you more about how that project is going, because that project is already underway. We're at a stage now where we are about to get our biddable plans on that. But I'll tell you more about that when we get toward the end here. Another thing, if we want to put up the picture of the auditorium, we need some changes in here. Now, this is the most recently updated room. I think we need to update it again. This picture does not show some of the updates I think we need to be able to have some better lighting and those kind of things, and even make it more useful for a theater that the school or others could use, as well as doing some things with our seating that would actually, it is quite possible to make the seating both more comfortable and comfortable not just in the way that you sit, but in your proximity to other people, but comfortable in that way, while also adding better flow and having more seating capacity. I'll tell you more about that if you want. It just has to do with some weird codes that the city and others have, all right? What you see behind me, though, is a picture of basically how it is now, with one big exception that you're going to see here. Those two things, and then you can actually see what's back here. What we want to do there is have a couple of new screens coming in that will point over on this side of the wall, and then one over here, new projector. So that one, this is open here. And then two, as I mentioned, that projector has served us well for a while. It's kind of dim. It doesn't have the updated technology to fit the new computer that we're putting back there. So that we can, there's just a lot of times I say, hey, can we put this picture up there or this video or this background or whatever, they say, no, that's not going to show up there. So we want to put up some better screens so everybody can see better, especially those who have poor eyesight or may sit toward the back. We want people to be able to see those things better and just for everything to function better. That's the purpose of the new computer going in the back, is so that you don't see the little play button coming up and those kind of things, and some new programming that'll come in there to make those guys in the back who work so hard and do such a great job, to make their jobs even a little bit easier once they get used to kind of using some of this new equipment. We'll make sure we train on those things well. Really cool thing about that little update right there is that it's already paid for. We had somebody come in that wanted to make that change and covered it for us, and that was a great blessing that came in this week. Another thing that I think will help us as we try to gather together is a little bit of signage. People, how many of you have started going to this church in the past 2 years? Anyone? We got several around here. I still get lost in this place. And people start talking about, we'll go up the A hall, the B hall, the C hall, the D hall, or, oh, it's over by the, by this room, and you're talking about, oh, let's go past the cow on the road. We need signage, people, okay? It's easy to get lost in this place. We have expanded over the years, and that is a wonderful testament to God's blessing, but it's also a nightmare at times. So this is just an example, not here, but just some stickers we're going to be putting on the walls at every intersection of the building to tell people how to get to the right areas. Potentially, once we get some things done on the exterior, these kind of things, so that we can say, okay, this is the best place to park to get to this area. Thinking not only about you who are already here and you who are members, but those people coming from outside, because we're anticipating people coming in here. We want them to know how to get to places, right? So that's just a way of communicating and saying, hey, community, we want you here, all right? So that's just one of those things we need to change. And here's a little sketch of something that's going to be coming in toward the end of the year. And if you want to think, you can turn around and not look up here for a second if you want, but just on the outside of these center doors on either side, there'll be little cabinets like what you're seeing up here. And there's three sections on each, so a total of six, because there's going to be on two sides, and that's kind of where we're starting. We may put up some more later kind of at some of the entry areas, but that's where you're going to go for information. Southern Champion Trey was really, really gracious to us and donated us a kiosk out there that we've been using and trying to figure out the best way to use it here. But as we've looked at some of the other plans that I'll tell you about, because I don't have a picture for those plans, that's actually not going to be able to fit where it is, and there's other places because of the width and such, it doesn't necessarily work as well with where we're kind of going with some things in the foyer. So these, which by the way, these are also paid for as well. Thank you to those who came through to do that. The cool thing about these, I didn't like ask for this stuff. People came and said, hey, we'd like to do this specific project, or we'd like to donate to something. What are some projects we can do? And they made a choice on some of those things that they wanted to do. It's just been a great blessing. But we want to have these info areas here where you can go and get information on every one of our different ministry areas. And it's all kind of right there for you. Again, focused on you as a church so we can communicate to all of us together, but also so we can communicate to those outside of the church as they come in. Making it very simple, we'll have brochures for every one of our ministry areas. I'm going to try to come up with like a how-to section if you want to know, how do we reserve a room? What is the wedding policy here? What are these things? That we'll have that information just readily available for different people. These should be in before the end of the year, and before the end of the calendar year even. And we're currently working on getting more of the information together. Now, I think there was another slide that got popped up. I didn't even ask for this one. As you look at some of the things that we're doing just to kind of put information out there, you see some new letterhead that will go out, so we have the whole thing together. Some new business cards. I don't even have a business card yet. Not because they didn't want to get me one. I just said, let's wait until we have a new package all together. But we'll do different kind of informational things. We'll do a kind of a church brochure that will tell people all about the church. I think I'm pointing at the right ones here. And some other little brochures that we can tell people, here's who we are as Grace. And so we can better connect with people outside and get that information across well. Those are some cool things, but we don't just gather. See, we're also meant to grow. We don't just come together and enjoy praising the Lord. We're supposed to grow, which is related primarily, and again, not solely, but primarily to the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, Jesus Christ, as we grow into His image. To grow is more than simply gaining knowledge or even just being convicted, which is a good thing. But I want you to look at the latter part of the Great Commission, Matthew 28. We'll just look at verse 20 for now. And He says, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We as a church are to teach people to obey God's commands. Christ's commands, and specifically is what it's referring to here. We grow to be more like Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit as we're transformed by God's word. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Growth is more than knowledge or conviction. It's life transformation. Growth is seen, and it happens when your life and your heart are changed. So if you're not being transformed more and more into the image of Christ, you're not growing. You may say, "I'm learning more things, I'm putting more things in my head," but those things don't do you a whole lot of good if they stay here. You have to use those. And I'm not just saying it's all about the go, but it's how you apply that to your life and the way that you live daily to be transformed. And we as a church are here to help one another to grow. Not the responsibility just of your staff, but of one another. Paul says in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." And here at Grace, we grow through not only these things, but these are some of the primary things we do. We grow through our small groups and through various Bible studies and other kind of classes that we'll have, Sunday school and those things, as well as, and we do this with a variety of methods and different emphasis in many of those different things. And they're applicable to all kinds of different people at different life stages. Some of you have either read, which I don't know why you would do that, but you did, or talked to me about my dissertation, which can be equally tasking, I think. But my dissertation, as I tell you, it's a tasking thing, and now I'm going to tell you about it. Hey, pay attention anyway. All right, but my dissertation was written on adult life stages, and particularly the process or the milestones that come along, kind of that process of adult spiritual growth and development. And that's kind of what it was all about. Currently, though, we are developing a lifelong life stage process from the cradle to the grave to guide people through that lifelong spiritual development process. And we didn't want to do that primarily, and everything that we do, small, whether it's small groups, Sunday school, Bible studies, any of that will be related to it, but our primary avenue is going to be through disciple making, or what some may call mentoring relationships. And that's in addition to our other Grow area ministries. And I am so thankful to have stepped into a church where that's already a part of the DNA. When I came in here, I initially started meeting with other pastors in the area just to get to know other senior pastors around here. And one of them I met with was Robbie Gallaty, who was over at Brainerd Baptist. I think he's already in Nashville now. But what he told me is that he did the same thing when he got here. And what one question he asked, he said, "Who is doing disciple making here well?" And he got one name: Steve Euler, Grace Baptist Church. That's cool. And I'm so thankful to have stepped into that, and so thankful to Dr. Euler and all of those who have that same mindset of not just being about, okay, here's what a staff does, but as we as a church come in to invest in lives of the next generation and to care on and on and on and to keep those things going on. That is at the heart of this church. And it's a very rare thing to find. And I want to see this grow even more. Something that I want us to continue to be known for. When people come into Chattanooga and say, "Who's doing disciple making? Who is investing in people one-on-one, one-on-two, or whatever you want the math to be?" I want them to know it's going to be us. And I want that to be something that flows over to other churches and other ministries so that that is something that we all begin to grow in. We're also working on some ways to help facilitate these relationships now. Now, leadership for this area, amongst some other areas here as well, Kelly O'Rear is now going to be our Grow pastor, overseeing our Sunday school and our small groups and Bible studies, and we're working on some things with him in other areas as well. But all of the ways that we help one another to grow, especially in those mentoring relationships and getting those things rolling. And there's a lot of others who are going to be working with him in those areas. Now, facilities. This is one of my pet projects here that I didn't get pictures on. So I was told I would have them by the end of the day Friday. They didn't show up. It's okay. The architects have been working really, really hard for us. Been really good. I think we'll have those things soon and be able to show those to you in a little bit better detail. But I'm going to need you to use your imaginations, okay? Can we do that? You haven't broken those things yet, right? Okay, good. All right. I don't know why I have the pointer, because I don't have anything to point at now. Most of you, I think, know, and again, visitors, I would love to, any of you who aren't familiar with the building or what I'm talking about, even members who just get lost like I do, I would love to walk you around and show you the things I'm talking about. Going out this way, I think most of you know where we have our children now, and we need to, of course, do some things to help with a check-in. So what we're going to be doing in there is kind of closing off one of the door from this big hall over here to the upper part of the library, and in there we're going to have a good check-in station with multiple check-in stations to get children in easily. Some other things you're going to see in there as you go down the hall to the right, I want to have the children have their own bathrooms in there. And we'll cut into some of the existing space that's a little bit oversized right now and have two bathrooms in there just for the children. As you get to the back where the two double wood doors are, we want to replace those with glass magnetic doors so we can see who's coming, people can see in, but we can still control the flow through there to keep our kids secure and others in that area. And we want to do that well without, and we want to have good signage, of course, to tell people how to get around those areas. Now, here's some of the cool stuff I want to do in here, too. Those are all good things. But our library, that lower part of the library, for one thing, we're going to raise it up. Up to the level of what the rest of that children's area is. And we're going to turn that into at least two classrooms, possibly some storage as well. And then that area, what I graciously, that's not the right word, I lovingly refer to as the pit. I think the old choir room in there, those risers we want to pull out and kind of turn the room around. So that the new kind of stage area there for the children or whoever may be teaching will actually be on the exterior wall. So your back will be to the exterior wall. And then as you come in from the upper floor, it's going to be tiered down like that was a lot of steps I did with my hands, not that many. But it's going to be tiered down like an amphitheater style. We'll have some storage and those kind of things in there. At the base there on what would be kind of the stage, which is actually the lowest part of the room, we'll have a little lighthouse in there and possibly a spiral staircase in it. Or y'all been to the playground at Chick-fil-A? We just took some kids there the other day. They have this kind of fun stacking thing. We may do that. I don't know. But some way you'll be able to get to the top of the lighthouse. Not you, your kids. We'll be able to get, don't, Scott. He's like, I want to try it. All right. Don't, so when you get to the top, you'll have a little slide that'll go down. So it's a fun place for kids to be. And we'll do some other conversions in there. Obviously flooring, ceilings, paint, those kind of things to keep it all very pleasing, to have the right technology available for all those kids. Of course, bathrooms they can get to without having to go and to say, no, sorry, you can't use this bathroom. There's children in there. How many of y'all of that did like run across the building because the children were using another bathroom? I got the nods out there. I see it. But we want to do that well. We've got to do our best to care for the children that God has given us, and they need a secure and stimulating area. In the United States in particular, most people make their faith decision prior to adulthood, and we want kids, we do this already in a really good way with our actual ministry, which is the most important part, but we want our facilities to catch up with that because we want to engage those kids well as they make their faith decisions prior to adulthood. It's a crucial time of life, and we want to engage them the best we can in every way we can. And it has an impact, too, on the way that we gather and we go, because so much of this, having these secure and pleasant facilities for kids is so important, because these days, children are often the ones driving the decision on where they may go to church or where their parents will even allow them to be. Beyond that, too, we're going to be doing more than just the children's areas. We work on our gather areas. We want to organize and beautify our Sunday school space with some signage, of course, again, as well as flooring, ceilings, paint, possibly putting some of the info booths out here, replacing some of the cabinetry in there. We're also working on updating right now, should be before the end of the year, updating some of the technology in there so that as many rooms as possible will have access to video as well as Blu-ray and those kind of things so you can use other curriculum resources. And updating some of the ones that we have and adding new things into others so you have the right kind of technology in those places. But, I mean, your classes can also get together and work to improve the looks in your room. I'd ask that you talk to people in the office or kind of our decorating team just to make sure that we're going to do something nice, but you can put different furniture, paint, all of those kind of things. We want to see things done, of course, really well. And we've got to grow, though, beyond the facilities, any of this, we have to grow. And I'm not talking about numbers as a church. I'm talking about individuals. We have to grow in order to have the spiritual energy to go. Think about your physical body. What happens, and don't point to anybody, what happens if you eat and eat and eat but never exercise? You grow just the wrong way, right? That's kind of how it happens. A lot of people aren't laughing because they're like, don't look at me. Right. No, you all look lovely out here. There's none of us who do that, right? But then on the flip side, too, what happens if all you do is exercise and then you never have any food, right? You're gonna end up passing out. You're not going to have the energy to do what you're intending to do. And it's the same thing in our spiritual lives. If we keep taking in food and taking in food and taking in food, the Bible says that knowledge puffs up. We've got to get out and do the go, the exercise. We have to do that in order to grow even as Christians, to do that properly. But then, too, if we aren't growing and we try to go, you get into things like people who believe that the gospel is all about the social gospel and social justice ideas. Those things are important, but that's not all there is. So when you get into heresy and difficulties and people end up leaving the faith because they're not fed in order to go and to do the exercise. So you have to have both the grow and the go. Now, go here is going to be related primarily, and again, not solely, to the third person of the Trinity, God the Spirit, because we go by his power and his leading. We go as Christ's body, as his hands and his feet, and every other part of him in the power of the Holy Spirit for God's glory. Let me remind you again, 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it." Go is carrying out the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18-20 says, and look at in particular verse 19, but starting in 18, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit.'" We go to carry out the Great Commission and to live out the Great Commandments in our own backyard and around the world. Back to the Great Commandments. If you look at those again, we read them earlier. Love the Lord, just as a summary. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. We go to take the life-changing message of God's kingdom into a lost world. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." We go to carry on the work of caring for the outcast and the poor, just as Jesus did when he was here physically walking the earth. Luke 7:22-23. And he answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who does not take offense at me." This is a huge task, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit. It's why we need each other, and we need the various gifts that the Spirit has given us, and that's why we also need to grow so that we don't run out of the energy, the spiritual energy, to do this. And we go here at Grace through supporting missionaries, and we support them like we talked about last week and with the Faith Promise. We support them with more than just our finances. We support them as we connect to them, as we build relationships with them and care for them and pray for them and, yes, give to them as well. We go by taking trips around the country and around the world. And those can be led by various different groups. We're going to have more and more of those opportunities coming up from within here at the church, but there's outside groups as well that we can go with. We go as we serve in local outreach and service ministries right here in Chattanooga. We go by opening up our campus and ourselves, our own hearts and our homes with our talents and our gifts within the community. I've got kind of this vision for our Crossroads Ministry being primarily what we're doing on Wednesday nights. But if you look at kind of ESL and then Celebrate Recovery, which is coming up starting January 12th on Saturdays as well, those fit into this as well. But what I want to see with our Crossroads Ministry is to be very outreach, go-focused in those things. So imagine this with me. As you think about some of the things that we currently offer, you got kids that love coming into Awana, but we also have people coming in here for divorce care, and we have people coming into my grandma's house ministry, and we need more leaders in that ministry in particular. But most of the people that come through there, like the vast majority of people that come into those ministries, are not people who have ever set foot into this church before. And they come in here, and a lot of them bring their kids. Their kids go to Awana. It's a great ministry. They fall in love with that. They want to keep coming. Parents go through these things over here. Kids want to keep coming back even when they're done. Let's give them something to do even when they finish. We've introduced them to the church through those things. And let's add some more, because there's other parents who, you know what, the kid's been invited to Awana, and so they fall in love with it. They want to keep bringing them back. Or maybe they're just driving by, and they just see on our marquee, what is that out here? And they see on the marquee there's some things that are happening. Let's give them a reason to be here. Some of you have some great talents and gifts. What if one of our rooms here was being used to offer something as simple as a photography class? And so people come in and say, I don't really know that I care at all about Christianity right now, but I do want to know how to take a better picture. Or maybe there's some other kind of gift, videography, or maybe it's a computer skill. You know, maybe it's teaching people to use any of this new technology, you know, social media, whatever. And those things that we can offer that may draw in people from the community that want to learn those things, that may not care about plugging into the church, finding out who Christ is yet. But then we have these other things when they say, okay, from my grandma's house, I'm done with that. What's something else I can do? Well, I need some help with finances. Austin Woody has this class, which is going to start up again in January on finances. You can go and you can grow in that area. Or maybe they've gotten to know some other believers, people from this church who love the Lord and are loving on them. And so they say, you know what? Okay, I will investigate this Christianity thing. So then we've got another class where they can go and they can just ask all of the questions that they just can't get answers to, or they can't figure out when they go and Google, do a Google search on it, what the actual answer is. And they can come and just ask those questions to get answered all together. A study on apologetics for those who are coming and saying, I don't think this is true, but let's look at it in more detail. And then maybe they've looked at that and said, okay, I can see there may be some reality here. And that's when we come to classes like what Kelly's been teaching on how people change. I need life change. Show me how to do it. And not just for non-believers, but for anybody who may walk in and need that kind of life change. And then we have other classes that just draw people more and more in, or just ways that we can connect with these people very well as they come onto our campus. I've got a project that'll go with that that I'll tell you about in a second, but that's what I see that ministry becoming, and there's all kinds of ways that we can do that. But we also go in our daily lives as we connect with people in our neighborhoods and at school and at work and wherever else the Lord may take us. And I know as you look especially on social media, anywhere in the news, the big thing right now is talking about what do we do in this refugee crisis. Let me ask you here, and please listen to this part. Just set aside for a second all of the what might happen and the possibilities and the fears and the politics and all of those things. And a lot of that is legitimate stuff. I'm not discounting those things. Let's just go with a what if. If these people show up here, these are people. We are called to be fishers of men, and these are fish that have just been put into our backyard. If it happens. And let's not get into the whether it should or anything like that. I'm just saying those kind of opportunities that may come up when the new person starts to work with you, when your next door neighbor sells their house and someone new moves in. Think about these things. Think about how you present yourself at work, at home, on social media. What does that say about Christ and his church? That's what it means to go, is to be, have your life transformed and to go out in those areas. And we go by working with our, you know, we're going to be working with our Sunday schools and our small groups and other ministries to help them take part in supporting missionaries and getting involved in local service opportunities and mission trips and outreach and more so that we can all have better access to those things. We need more leadership in this area. And this is one where the word change, that applies. One change we're going to have here is we have a new GO pastor. Mike Swanson will be our GO pastor. Now I hear the laughs of this picture. We had a debate on what picture to put up. We had three of them. One of them was awkward looking, to say the least. I won't tell you much more about it, but we tried to make it, right? And then there was another one that was just kind of, just stern, just your normal, hey, this is my portrait kind of thing. But this just seemed more like Mike. He doesn't really get flustered a whole lot, and it just seemed like a lot of fun. If you guys think that's a horrible representation, you can tell me and I may ignore you, but no, I'll listen to you on that. But he's still going to be our executive pastor, still going to be handling the church finances, overseeing some things within the school financial area. He's going to be overseeing, not handling directly, but kind of overseeing some of our facility things here in this building in particular. But he's going to be taking a big step back in his school responsibilities, and we're going to hire somebody with some really good skills to come in and replace him and reorganize things within the school such that we'll actually be able to have probably more skill there, but also be able to save a little bit of money just by the way that people can focus in there as well. And so that's something I think really exciting, just kind of getting people really where they fit really well. Mike's done some good work here already, and we just want to get him right where he is going to fit. And I'm excited. I think he's pretty excited about getting into this as well. I'm just trying to say this all like this is all intentional and positive stuff. I'm just worried about myself saying like something wrong here, but I'm excited about this, and I love the picture too. But it's really going to enhance and increase our GO ministries, and that's going to be part of his job, is building more trips and more connections connections for outreach and all of these kind of things, and training us in evangelism and these kind of areas as well. But we need some facility changes here too. And I'm going to start with kind of a wild one on this one, okay? And it's not really wild so much as in concept, it's just kind of further down the road. Let's show them some of the walking path stuff there. And so what you see here, we don't have any drawings on this, just some pictures that others have come up with. But what you see right here, these are just kind of pieces of equipment that can handle the weather and anybody anytime can use. They're very safe. They're exercise kind of things. And so what this vision is, and both of these ideas here, this other one being an amphitheater that could be over kind of by the soccer field there or something like that. But these are ideas that Les Compton had, of ways to become kind of a community center where people in the community will simply want to come here. So imagine just kind of going throughout this campus, having several of these different pieces, probably one at a time, not clustered like this, kind of throughout the campus on a trail. And where people from the neighborhood can come and walk, jog, run, whatever, and then go and use some of those exercise pieces. And we as a church, we start using those things too, and we start to connect with these people. Like I know some of you all already do at the Y, we can add another piece here for those who maybe can't afford that kind of thing. But a place where the community can come and just start to realize that we as a church care about the community, and that we want to be involved with them. And think about things going on in the amphitheater. I don't know how many of you have kids who, when they see that kind of thing, they want to get up and pretend to be the actor on there. Imagine just having the kids come on and wanting to do those kind of things. Or even then, somebody just driving down the road and seeing a performance happening right here outside on our campus, a free thing that we can offer, be it something with the orchestra, not putting more work on you, Fred, but sort of, or, you know, some kind of a play or something like that. We'll put that one on Jessica Box, I think. And then, you know, all these things that we could do outside that would draw more people into what's going on here and drawing them not just to what's happening here, but what the Lord may be doing. And another one here that I think people may have talked about at different times, whenever I mention this, people say, oh, you've been talking about that for a while. Pay attention here. The Grace Fitness Center. Now, this is just some external stuff that we want to do to replace the beautiful modular building that we have sitting on our back part of our campus. If I can throw out some financial things, people, we are paying over $500 a month in a lease on that thing. And it's going to cost us a good chunk just to have it removed. This is what we're looking at doing to replace it. And yes, this is partly an academy desire. They do need that over there. But imagine then, think about the crossroads thing I just told you about, what I want to do. What if, because our gyms right now are being used with Awana, and we can have some other things in those as well, but what if in this fitness center we had a weight training class on Wednesdays that people may want to come to? What if we had a Zumba class? Some of the ladies are like, yeah, I already know I get some. Yeah, I got the nods out here. What if we had those kind of things that, okay, got the kids at Awana? Listen, we got free childcare over here because your kid can go to Awana, right? Or they can go to our student ministry things. And they're all getting plugged in there. While you come over here and do Zumba amongst believers. And it doesn't have to be Zumba. I just know that that one gets a lot of people going. They like that, right? So that's kind of an opportunity for that facility. Now, another one here that we'll just go back to the ghost slide. This is another one. This is, of all of them, this is probably my favorite project. And it's one that we don't have a picture of, so we need to use our imaginations again. Think about the upper library right out here. So if you go out, there's two steps up to a door. So if you've been, how many of you have been in the upper part of the library here? Okay, it's like sometime in the past 30 years we've been in there. Not a lot of folks necessarily use it a whole lot. But if you go in there, there's a few doors in there. All of those will get shut off, closed off, and kind of walled in, except for, of course, the main one, because if you don't have the main one, you can't get in or out. So in there, what we want to do also then is this wall that comes into the foyer between the library door over here and the hallway, what we call the B hall going into the children's area. We're going to blow that wall out. That'll be a column there, of course, kind of, and then a wall going that direction to kind of separate it from the children's area. We're going to blow that out. And then out here in the foyer, and again, I'm holding this laser pointer I don't need right now, but out here in the foyer, if you will imagine, and this is part of the reason we can't really use the donated piece over here, but what we're going to do is bring out, because that's an upper level right now, and it's got steps, and we're going to bring that out a little bit to where there's a platform slightly into the foyer, going kind of a corner to corner. I'll show you where it is. It's just a few feet. And we're going to have steps down from that. But then also on either wall opposing there, there'll be a ramp there so that anybody, again, strollers, carts, and then wheelchairs, whatever, can get up there. So they'll get up to that same area and be able to get back into the missions cafe area that I'm talking about or into the children's area. So that's how you get into it. But once you get in there, what we're looking then is like slat walls along all the walls made out of product, you know, the pallet board or something nice like that. We'll have a counter in there with some running water, not always running, but, you know, able to run drains and that kind of stuff, which the draining and the plumbing is part part of the reason, one small part of the reason, would be raising the level of the other part of the library so you can run the plumbing under it. And that'll all be kind of on the back wall. That'll be where we have our coffee. Now, you can still have coffee in your classroom and other places. That's fine. That's just Coffee Central. Now, why is this part of the whole missional thing? What I want us to do for the go portion of this ministry, I want us to serve coffee that is, if you guys are familiar with some of these coffees where missionaries in particular go to developing countries, teach them to plant coffee, to harvest that, and then use that to, you know, we wouldn't sell it here. Now, maybe during the week we might, I don't know. But on Sundays we wouldn't. But instead of, you know, paying money to Folgers or whoever, I don't know what we use. I don't care about coffee that much. But we would be giving things to missionaries and to things developing, you know, developing countries and caring for people that way. Also a place where we can have things like mercy jewelry, scarves, and other artisan crafts that are made by women who are being brought out of sex trafficking and other very tough situations. None of that at a profit for the church, because I'm not trying to get into any of those kind of things, but ways that we can support others. And then also, that'll be the center place where we have all displayed information on all of our missionaries. That's the reason for the slat walls, where you can go and take, for any of our missionaries, their information. We can have their cards there for you, their magnets, all those kind of things that you can get, as well as their most recent newsletters will be there for you to grab, take with you, and pray through. We'll also want to have some little, kind of the digital picture frames, where you can kind of get some pictures. It'll just kind of be scrolling through the different missionaries, a bunch of those frames up to see kind of what the Lord's doing in and through them. I'd love to have a place there too where we can have either a computer or iPad or something like that set up where you can go, and that'll be the great place already programmed in with a list so you can hit FaceTime, Skype, whatever, with a missionary Sunday morning if they're awake in their part of the world during that time and be able to connect with them right then and there. Also, the place where you'll be able to go and get information about trips that we're doing, about opportunities to serve here locally, ways that we're going to serve as a church, and then ways to go ahead and just register for those things, give to the Faith Promise, to the missionaries, all of those things kind of centered right there and with the ramps accessible to everybody. Just a second thing on the accessibility. We want to, of course, make some of the other exterior stuff more beautiful. So we'll be doing some things in the corridor between the office building and this building, putting in a double door there, leveling it all out, and there'll be a switchback ramp. So then at that point, with the exception of the two very, actually, no, those may be accessible, and maybe we make those accessible, but most if not all of our doors will look the same, having nice glass doors, and be accessible to wheels as well, partly because there have been times in most of the churches I've been in where at some point I've ridden a motorcycle inside. I'm not saying that's why we're doing it, but it does provide that opportunity. So now there's a few ways, and I know we're getting a little bit late here, so I'll try to cover this. We're about done. But a few ways that you're going to notice right away that we've already been kind of implementing some of this strategy. And of course, I want to point out some things on your bulletin. There's a few of these things that we've still got to work through this. If there's things in it that aren't working for you, for one thing, you can take this out and kind of write some notes. I already made some notes of things we need to do. But what we're going to do, you've got this little info card and then plug-in card and sign up. So it's a good way just to sign up for areas to get plugged in. It's a place to put prayer requests, all of these kind of things. Here's something we may do a little bit differently, but for good reason. Probably going to be moving our offering toward the end of the service so that when somebody has a response to a message or they need more time to turn in information, whatever, they can be able to put that in. It's just a really simple and easy way for people to do that prayer request that may come up in relation to the service or something else, rather than having to go and find somebody. And while that is a change for a lot of people here, quite frankly, I'm not focused on the people in that regard. I am in general, but in that regard, I'm more focused on people who are new coming in, but we want to do a good job with them. Other things you're going to notice on the bulletin, obviously the front of it, and then as you open up, you've got your notes and things here. That is a tear off. If you want to take those on, it'll fit real well in your Bible, and you can post it up on your refrigerator or whatever. That tears off easily. Right now, your go and prayer section tears off. That was an accident, but you've got that for the next 10,000 copies. And so anyway, but you notice that now we're organized rather than by ministry area as far as youth, children, women, men, those kind of things. It's gather, grow, go. But underneath each of those, and we'll probably make these headings a little more bold so you can see which one's which, but you're going to have each of those still there, your children, your youth, all of those kind of things. Under each of those, under go, I think the one thing we'll add there probably will be some ways to pray for our missionaries or to be praying for people groups around the world. And of course, we keep our prayer needs on the back, some things going on with the academy. You've got your contact information. location, your calendar, and then under gather, in case you couldn't find it, under gather, you've got your order of service will be in there because we can't go through without that. And because half the time I forget to take mine up here, I got to know when I'm supposed to get up here. And I know everybody wants to see those things. But we're going to be celebrating too, something new that we're going to start next week. We're going to be celebrating and even kind of rewarding some outstanding examples in each of those areas, gather, grow, and go at our gather reports. Not to make much of a person, but of what the Lord is doing. And you can see that when you show up next Sunday night at 5:30. And so I'm introducing these facility projects with a target to complete these things by the end of 2020. A couple of reasons for that. One, 2020 vision sticks in your head, right? I mean, that's what we all want, 2020 vision. And so it's not so much about a year in particular, but these are things I believe that the Lord is calling us to do. I'm introducing what I believe we need to do as a congregation. And we had some people come in to us over the past couple of weeks and months with some substantial donations, some to particular projects, some just kind of in general. And as they came in with those, they said, well, for one thing, we want to give this before the end of the year. They suggested there may be some others who would want to give as well, so we wanted to introduce that now. It'll probably be listed in the Christmas letter as well. And for all of these projects, we don't have all the numbers in yet. We're working on some of this. And I mentioned the AV stuff, the screens up here, the initial phase of the info centers, getting those two. Those things are covered already and hoping that those are going to be in by January 1st. The guys in the sound booth are like, no, you're not getting those screens in. They'll be here. We just may not have them installed by them. We're going to give it a shot. Two-thirds, and here's the cool thing that I didn't mention to you, I don't think, earlier, that fitness center. Most of the time I mention that fitness center to people, they say, whatever, we've been talking about that for years. Two-thirds of that is already paid for. Cool, huh? And like, not like we have the money over here, but we spent it over here. The money is here and just sitting, waiting. All right, we've got the biddable plans coming in for that. And as well, we have somebody who is willing, if we even need it by the time we get to build this very soon, somebody who's willing to give us the rest of the money. Basically, it's kind of a savings plan that we do pay back at 0% interest. And I don't like going into debt, but when you're paying over $500 a month for the modular thing sitting out there, and you can pay that much or less for something that has an end date and looks a whole lot better, it sounds good. We're not going to go forward with that without bringing that to a congregational vote and discussion, all right? And that's even if we even need to have any kind of, you know, that borrowing coming in, because I don't like debt myself. The kitchen project. We don't have a final number in on that, but that's about halfway covered already. That's probably somewhere in a $200,000 to $250,000 range. We've got $125,000 of that in already, plus the biddable plans are paid for, as well as all of the renderings. Exciting stuff has been happening here, and that's just by the Lord. We didn't really go seeking those kind of things. But I wanted to share all that with you, even before we get all the numbers in case this is something you guys want to get in on. But I want to breed some excitement about what I believe the Lord has for us. And I think, too, your response is going to show if you as a church are on board. I think I trust all of you to let me know if this is something that you agree that we need to move forward on, that we need to pursue these remaining projects. And I am truly interested in your feedback. It'd just be nice because I'm sensitive. And we may at some point, we may start a capital campaign. But how cool would it be if we never needed to? If we just came together and said, no, this is what we need to do. Let's do this. So I've got a simple challenge for you for this week. I just want you to pray about all of it. Not even necessarily if you want to pray about how you may get involved and give to it, but just pray about this. Is this something you can get excited about for the future here? And I'm open to meet with any of you anytime and talk about these things as we need to. And as we close out here today, I don't just want to celebrate the future and look forward to things that are to come. I want to celebrate what God's already done and who we are as a church and where we're at this point and how we've gotten here. And I want us to also, though, to look forward and do that as we sing. I'm going to pray and we're going to sing. And whether these are things that you want to see for the future or not, let's praise God for what he knows he wants to do in and through the people of Grace Baptist Church. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for just for what you've made this church to be already and what I know you can do in the future in an ever-changing culture, ways that we can engage those people here. So I pray that you would use us. God, I pray that you wouldn't just use us, but we would be excited to go and to be a part of your plan. So God, just give us that excitement. Grow us so we can be used to go and then come together to gather to celebrate you and what you're doing. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen. Grace. It's time to go.